Luke chapter 5, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God if you're physically able? Luke chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse number 16. Luke chapter 5, verse number 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. By the way, we'll never see a working of God if we don't pray. Verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, speaking of Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought into bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Verse numbers 26. They were all amazed. And they glorified God, but then get this. And they were filled with fear, saying, We have seen a strange thing today. I want to ask you a question tonight. What will you do for revival? Thank you. You may be seated. I have read this passage many times before, Luke chapter 5, and he says similar things, the same account in Mark chapter 2. And as I began to read this passage, I knew the story. I knew that there's a big crowd in a house, and the crowd is gathered, and they're listening to Jesus teach. And Jesus is teaching the crowd, and as he's teaching the crowd, there's some friends over here, four friends, and they have enough sense that they're going to bring their friend who is sick of the palsy, or he's sick in some way that he cannot walk, they're going to bring their friend to Jesus. There's a whole other message right there of bringing the lost to Jesus, completely different. But when we look here, I want you to see these four men, when they come to Jesus, they come up and they try to get in the house. The house is full. I mean, I remember seeing this story on flannel graph as a kid. You know the flannel graph? The same flannel graph figures that was Moses one week is David the next week. You know, you got the idea. Okay. And they were great. I mean, I still remember some of those pictures, and I remember the house and the people coming out of the house, and I remember the four men bearing the stretcher that carried the man to Jesus, and the teacher would tell us, as does the scriptures, it says that these men couldn't get in the house because of the press, and so they go up on top of the house, on top of the roof, and they figure they're just going to take up the roof, and the Bible says here in Luke 5 that they tear up the tiling, and they let their friend down to Jesus, and somehow, my teacher, I remember him telling me, somehow they just squeezed into one another, the packed house, just so the bed could get down in front of Jesus. And I'm sure you've heard the story as well. And the man comes before Jesus, and Jesus tells him that rise, take up your bed and walk. And because he sees the faith of the friends, and wow, what a story. And then this man, he gets up and he takes up his bed and he walks and goes his way and glorifies God. And I remember hearing that as a kid. And I remember thinking, wow, what a neat story. I mean, now, my mind thinks a little bit differently than everybody else's. I understand that. My question in that story, I remember as a kid, my question was, I wonder how mad the person that owned the house got. I mean, I remember thinking that. But when I was reading through Luke chapter 5 recently in my devotions, the Lord pointed out some things to me that just astounded me. And it blew my mind. And I'm thinking, whoa, there's a whole nother idea here in this passage. I want you to see it tonight. First of all, Luke chapter 5, notice what he says in verse number 17. This is different than the passage earlier, all right? Jesus has been teaching. They've been bringing the sick to Jesus. Jesus has been healing them. And the end of the story previously, they are continuing to bring their friends to Jesus. But now this is a new story. Jesus has departed into the desert to pray. Now he comes back into the city. And in verse number 17, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which are come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem." All right, you get the idea. There are no sick people in this story yet. In Mark chapter 2, it's the same thing. There are no sick people. I think in my mind, I always thought, well, there are sick people right there. Jesus is healing them, but that's not this passage. And this passage in Luke chapter number 5 and in the correlating passage of Mark chapter number 2, the same passages, Jesus is not healing in this passage. He is teaching. Notice who he's teaching in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 17. Notice who he's teaching. It says here that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law, that's speaking of the Old Testament law from Moses. There are Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. You understand what he's talking about here? There are no sick people here. These people that Jesus is teaching, these are the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders and doctors of the law. We're talking about the rabbis here. We're talking about, if you can excuse the phrase, we're talking about the church people here. We're talking about these men who have memorized all first five books of the Bible, as every Jewish man would do if he was preparing to be a Pharisee or preparing to be a doctor of the law, and probably more of the Old Testament than just the first five books. And these men, they know the Bible, if you will. They know the law. They know what God says. I mean, they're constantly quoting it to Jesus himself. And in this passage, there are only these people that Jesus is teaching. That's it. That's it. I mean, we don't find it. We don't find it in Luke chapter 2. We don't find it in Luke chapter number 5. And I'm not saying that there weren't some by, but Jesus, in this passage, he's not healing. It says right here in Luke 5 and verse number 17, "And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching." Jesus' object this day is teaching. He's teaching the men, not healing the sick. He's teaching the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Now notice the last phrase of verse number 17. Get this. "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I had never seen this before. I just always assumed that, well, Jesus was healing other people. But he's not doing that this day. He's teaching the Pharisees. He's teaching the doctors of the law. And then it uses this phrase, "The power of the Lord was present to heal them." And you know who that "them" is referring to? Not the sick people. Not today. No, it is referring to the Pharisees. It's referring to the doctors of the law. In fact, that word "power" there isn't the idea of healing power. It's the idea, the same place we get gospel power, the idea of dunamis or dynamite is what the Bible word would be here. Power. It would be the idea of gospel power. It would be the idea of saving power. It would be the idea of revival power, if you will. The same kind of idea. It's the dynamite power of the gospel that is present to heal who? Sick people? Not in this passage, friend. It's speaking of the church people. It's speaking of those who know the law, those who know what's right, those who know what's wrong, those who know how to obey, those who know what it is to be disobedient, those who know how to live a good life, those who put a good show on the outside, those who come to church regularly, those who have a good marriage on the outside that everybody sees when you come to church, those people that have their money in order, those people that, boy, you see them serving, or maybe you don't see them serving, but at least they're faithful, and man, these people, at least they look good. And Jesus says, there's power right there in that house to heal them. Made me think of the church people today. Made me think of me. Made me think of you. Made me think of the churches all across the world that be of like faith, the children of God. And he says, there is power there to heal them. They're standing there and they're listening to Jesus teach. And we see the great possibility of the ministry this day. We see the great possibility of Jesus doing something miraculous this day. But get this. The people that Jesus has the power to do something miraculous for don't want it. They don't want something miraculous today. And I find that's often like you and me, friend. Oh, we hear about revival. We read about revival. We hear it talked about. We hear people talk about getting late with God. Wow, wouldn't it be great if God showed up? Why doesn't He? It's not because of God. Because of me and you, friend. He says there's power there to heal them. And get this, there's just as much power today to heal me and to heal you. God hasn't changed. The same God and the same Jesus from Luke chapter 5, get this, He's alive today. The same God that has been working all from since the Bible, get this, He's still working today. Get this, you don't serve a dead Savior, then why is it that we act like He's dead? Why is it that when we talk about God, it's almost like we have to go to the closet and brush it out and find Him because He hasn't been here for so long? Why is that? Why is it that we talk about God like He's some jack-in-the-box that we have to wind up when we want Him so He'll pop out, do His work, and then we'll close Him back up because we don't want Him right now? Why is that? And when I look at Luke chapter 5, I find the same thing. These men are listening to Jesus teach. Wow. Can you imagine listening to the very Jesus who died for you and me teach? Don't you think it'd be pretty neat? Guess what? He's still teaching from the Bible today. He's still teaching from the Holy Spirit that's working in your and my heart tonight. He's still teaching, saying, I want to give you life and living through Jesus Christ, give you a normal Christian life, giving you the Christian life that I designed, not something that's a drudgery. Whatever happened to God? No wonder God doesn't work like He used to. Because we don't want Him to. The possibility in Luke chapter number 5. Wow, but now I want you to see the persistency. Notice what happens in verse number 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man, which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Okay, this man is sick. This man has a problem. And they say, you know what? I know someone that can heal. Guess what? I know the answer to man's problem today. It's Jesus. Guess what? I know the answer to every church's problem today. It's Jesus. I know the answer to every Christian today when they're facing problems. It's Jesus. I know the answer to when we have sin in our life and we need to be restored and we need to have that fellowship put back into place with Jesus. I know what the answer to revival is. Hit this. It's one word. One person. Jesus. And we see these men, they want to see Jesus. Oh, they don't just talk about Him. Have you ever met somebody that never does anything? They just talk about what they're not going to do? You ever met people like that? I meet people like that all the time. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And they just keep talking about what they're going to do and they don't end up doing. You get the idea. These men, they're different. They say, listen, we want Jesus and we're going to get to Jesus. They bring their friend and when they come there, they find the house is full. And guess what? That doesn't stop them. I've met Christian after Christian. They pray for revival on a prayer meeting night. And that's the only time they pray for revival. Whatever happened to seeking God? Because get this, He says, when you seek Me, you will find Me. And listen, friend, when I seek God, I will find Him because it's a promise of Scripture. And these men, they're looking for Jesus to show up. They're looking for Jesus to do the work. What about you? Are you looking for Jesus to do the work? Or are you looking for, oh, know what? I'm just going to come hear my pastor. Let my pastor do the work. If your pastor was up here, he'd agree with me. It's not he or me that do the work, friend. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that's the answer. Many times people bring the puzzle pieces to the pastor. Preacher, put these back together. That's all good and well and fine, friend. But you know what his puzzle glue is? Jesus. Friend, the answer is Jesus. But we've left him. We've put him aside. It's like, oh, I just wonder, will Jesus show up today? How desperate are you for Jesus to show up? How desperate am I for Jesus to show up? When I cry out to God, is he going to be right there? You say, sure, he's promised to. He's also said in his word, he won't hear us if we don't have fellowship with him. So if we cry out to him and we're not close to him, will he hear you? Say, Lord, bless me today. Well, why should he when you're not walking close to him? Get this, he didn't hear the prayer of blessing. He won't hear any prayer until you come to him looking for cleansing. Then he'll forgive, he'll cleanse, and then get this, then he'll answer your prayer. That's the truth of Scripture. These men are desperate for Jesus. They see there's a possibility that Jesus can help them. And not just a possibility, it's a for sure thing. And they come and they say, hey, listen, we're going to get to Jesus one way or another. They go up on the top of the roof. They begin tearing things off. I just wonder what would happen if we started tearing the sin off of our lives with Jesus' help. Getting the things out of the way that would come between us and Jesus. These men say, hey, listen, nothing is going to keep me from being close to Jesus. All right, then what's keeping you from being close to Jesus? What's keeping me from being close to Jesus? These men, they tear up the roof. They let the man down. And Jesus says when he sees their faith, then we see God's power because of their persistency. We see God's power. They lower him down. Notice what it says here in verse number 24. He tells us, he says here, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And Jesus has forgiven this man of his sins, and he's told him to arise and walk. Because some men said, I want to see Jesus work today. And I'm so desperate to see Jesus work, I'm not going to let up until he does work. I'm not going to stop letting him search me and showing me the sin until I see God show up. I'm convinced we don't see God show up in our meetings and in our churches all across America, all across the world, because we don't want God to show up. We're more content with our program. We're more content with our things. We're more content with being comfortable in our churches than we are to see God show up. No wonder he doesn't want to come visit with us. Does he not say, if he will open the door, I will come in and sup with him? By the way, that's not talking about salvation. Talking about fellowship right there. I wonder why God stays away today. It's because we want him to stay away. I mean, let's just be honest. Why doesn't God work anymore? It's not because God changed. It's because I've changed. Oh, then we go back and we see this passage and we see the power of Jesus. He says, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power. Friend, I'm desperate for power. I have to have his power. Or I might as well just pack up and go home. Because if I have not God's power, I'm worthless. And I'm not speaking tonight as a preacher. I'm worthless as a Christian if I don't have God's power. I must have him. And he tells us here, he says that he is able. He has power. Not just to say, arise, but thy sins be forgiven thee and go home. Now, once we cannot tarry long. He tells us here, I want you to see in verse number 23. I want you to see the predictability. Notice what happens in verse number 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? You want to know the people that question whether God can really work or not? They will never see God work because they're too busy questioning. The people that doubt God, get this, he won't work. Not when you doubt him. He tells us all throughout the Gospels, he says, I could not do many works there because of their, the word is unbelief. In other words, I just wonder if God will show up today. I'm tired of wondering. And get this, friend, when we expect God to show up, he will. You say, how do you know? You seek me, you'll find me when you search with all your heart. That's what he says. Get this, friend. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The problem is we gather without his name. We're not desperate for God, friend. It's a Sunday and Wednesday thing. And for most people, it's just a Sunday thing. You see how popular the church is on Sunday morning. You see how popular the preacher is on Sunday night. And you see how popular God is on Wednesday night. Makes a big difference, friend, doesn't it? How desperate am I for God? How desperate are you for God? What is it going to take before you can get close to God? What is keeping you from being close to God? What's keeping you from revival? If revival is just being made alive again, in other words, having the joy of salvation restored because I'm right with God, I'm clean before God, wow, then why don't I have it? Because I don't want it. It's time that we start to look for God. Because when we look for God, He'll be found. But then these people in verse number 21, they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Then they say in verse number 23, Jesus says to them, He says, whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk. In other words, Jesus says, listen, you questioning me? Are you questioning my power? He says, listen, I'm going to show you something great today. I'm not just going to tell this man to rise up and walk. I'm going to tell him his sins are forgiven and rise up and walk. I think many times we say, we're expecting God to do this. When if we just were to trust Him, and if we just were to say, God, I'm desperate for You, show up. He proves us all throughout the Word of God. He'll show us abundantly above all we can ask or think. Because that's who He is. I don't even think we've scratched the surface of who God is. We haven't even scratched the surface of what it means to be a friend of God. There are only one or two people in the Bible that He even called His friend. I just wonder what you and I are missing out on. Friend of God. He's powerful enough, He's able enough, but then we're too busy questioning whether God will. When God says, just trust me and I will. Then He tells us here, I want you to see this last portion, and with this I'll be quickly done. Verse number 26. And immediately, He rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Verse number 26. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. When I read that, I'm always captivated by strange things. Maybe it's because I'm a little strange. I don't know. You can answer that later. But when I began to read that, I thought, that's unusual. I mean, that's an interesting way to word it in the Word of God. And I began to read that verse and study that verse, and it seemed like on one end of the spectrum, they're saying, we want to glorify God. But on the other end, they're saying, but this is strange. And I began to look up that word strange, and it comes from the same word that we get paradox from. It came from the same idea of being unusual, the same idea of being extraordinary, the same idea of it looks all right, but it's kind of different. And it comes from the idea of just, wow, that's just unusual. And I began to read this, and when they would say strange, they would mean it seems extraordinary. Or it seems unusual. So basically they're saying, praise the Lord. But that's weird. In other words, I'm not sure if that's God. And I'm not sure if I've ever seen something like that before. That's what many people think of revival. Some people come to revival and they see Christians getting right and they say, wow, that's strange. But get this, friend. You cannot glorify God and also consider it a strange thing. It's a Bible word paradox. It's kind of different. It's kind of strange. It doesn't really add up together. Glorifying God and then unusual? Weird? In other words, these people say, praise the Lord. Was that really God? basically what they're saying. Praise the Lord, but whoa. That's many times we see about revival. In our own lives, we say, praise the Lord for the messages, but, wonder why God didn't do anything for me. Praise the Lord for the decisions that were made, but, man, I wonder if that really, if that person is really genuine when they're getting right with God. I wonder if it's real. Same thing the religious people are asking. And that's why there was power there to heal them, and they were never healed. And get this, friend. God offers you and me revival. Normal Christian living. But the fact is, when it were to happen, and if it were to happen, it would be for many of us so abnormal. And the reality is because we live subnormal lives. I'm desperate for God to work, friend. I'm desperate for God to show up. I'm tired of reading about revival. I'm tired of preaching about revival. I'm tired of praying about revival. And so many times we as Christians just saying, oh, revival? Yeah, that's a thing we have once or twice a year. It's a meeting. No, revival meeting should be something we have every day of our lives. Meeting with God. Having our sins forgiven. In a relationship with Him. When I look at the Scriptures, I see that God wanted to do a work. He was not able to do the work with the power that was present to heal them. But get this. He did work for five individuals. They went away not saying that's strange, but saying, praise God. Five men. Because they wanted to be close to Jesus. And they were going to do everything possible to get close to Jesus. But what about the house that was full? What about the religious people? They just thought it was something strange. If God were to do a work of revival tonight, in your heart or in the heart of the person sitting next to you, would you think it's strange? If God were to do a work in the heart of the person sitting in front of you, would you think it unusual? If God were to do a work in someone sitting in the other side of the auditorium, would you be so desperate to see God work in your life that you'd be willing to beg God for it? Would you be so willing to have a relationship, or would you be so desperate to have a relationship with God that you'd beg Him to search you and clean you up? Friend, I wonder how desperate are we? And if God were to show up, would it surprise us? If God were to show up in your spouse's life, would it surprise you? If God were to show up in your life tonight, would you let Him? And if God spoke to you about something tonight, would you confess it? Would you embrace Christ? How desperate are you and I for God to work? And what would you do if revival showed up?